Hey guys, it's Scott Brennan here. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. Before I get to the ads, I just want to address, it's very hard to release a comedy-themed podcast after the events that happened over the weekend in Orlando. And, you know, I find it hard to swallow that people use the deaths of 50 people, injuries of God knows how many, people still unidentified, and they're using it to jump on a political campaign, talk about Trump or Hillary or Obama or whatever. And it's like we're completely losing sight of what actually happened here and who's affected, the families of people who, you know, you may have not even known their child was in a club, okay, or their friend was in the club and whatnot, and people going to out to have a good time and losing their lives and changing the lives of people and families all over the place. So with that, I want to use this little pre-time here as a little bit of a positive message. I spoke to Aaron Is. He was a tattoo artist. You may have known him from Ink Master, and he was on the podcast a few months ago. Really nice guy, him and his girlfriend Coco. And they're starting a benefit. Right away, they started a benefit, United Pride, a benefit for Orlando. And they're just asking businesses, creative people, whoever, to get involved in a fundraising event, to go directly to raising money to help victims of this cause. The PayPal is... anything you can do, if you just want to sign up and send $5, okay, it all goes to a good cause, and trying to really make sure it goes to the right people here. They've set up a PayPal, okay, for donations. If you go at UnitedPrideOrlando@gmail.com. Again, that's UnitedPrideOrlando@gmail.com. We're going to message with hundreds of different people. Tattoo artists and comics. And we're trying to think of things we can do and send money to the right places, the right charities. So they can research the event, okay, United Pride, a benefit for Orlando, and go to any business that's holding an event in their area, and maybe you can get some creative sponsorship and whatnot. And again, that is with Aaron Is from Ink Master, and Chris, a great guy, great artist, and please, you know, take the time, you know, if you have a couple bucks to even donate a few bucks to a really good cause. And with that, I hope this podcast brings you a little bit of laughter. And let's just go over the ads real quick that make this podcast possible. Hey, guys, Scott Brennan here. Before we get to the ads real quick, this is the episode for you. If you like funny, if you like random, this is a good one. We have a human pup from over the seas, over in England, talks to us today, and hear how Michael Berlow is a perfect fit to be a human pup, whether he denies it or not. But real quick, here are the sponsors that help us keep the lights on, and sponsors we enjoy working with because they go right up the alley of DIY, do-it-yourself, entrepreneurship. Manskirt Brewing, bringing the highest quality craft beer to the Hackettstown area here in New Jersey. Visit us in the historic bank building they call home, where you can check out the vault and enjoy one of the delicious beers handcrafted by brewmaster Joe Fisher. Go check out his skirt, okay? Hence the name Manskirt, like a nice leather kilt, okay? They emphasize beer styles that buck current trends while rotating seasonals and keeping things fresh and fun. It's an awesome brewer. We're going to be doing a podcast with them coming up very soon. They got brew at the zoo, okay, at the Turtleback Zoo on June 28th, so go check them out. If you see Joe, tell him hi, say you heard about him on Verbal Shenanigans, and try some of his awesome beer. Other sponsor in the craft brew world is our good friends at Demented Brewing. Okay, Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. Okay, they have a tap room with 16 taps that rotate all the time. New beers released almost every single Sunday. Okay, you got to go check the place out. The artwork's awesome. The location is awesome. And it's just a great hang. They just released Soul Reaper, an American Pale Ale, yesterday. Okay. This Sunday coming up, they're going to be releasing a Passion Fruit Kettle Sour. Oh, yeah. On June 25th. Big news with them, the Eric Nagel Show. You may have heard him on Sirius XM, Opie Radio. Okay, it's Eric Nagel. We'll be broadcasting live from the brewery. We did an episode a few weeks ago from there, and check it out, as Eric Nagel's going to be there. So that's pretty awesome for our good friends there at Demented Brewing. Wolf Nation, our longest sponsor here, all about waking up and living free. Okay, young entrepreneur. Clothing line, designer clothes for men, women, children, dogs, grandmas, athletes, whatever you want. But Wolf Nation, okay, waking up, living free, okay, taking on the man, tired of living paycheck to paycheck, doing something that you want to do. And that's exactly what Wolf Nation Clothing is. So please visit their Instagram, Wolf Nation, and Twitter, Facebook. That's WULF Wolf Nation. Finally, our good friends at Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. They bring trivia and craft beer together. I host, I'm starting new at Tap House 15 this Wednesday in Jefferson. And they are located all over the place in New Jersey. They support breweries like Demented Brewing and Manskirt Brewing and Beach House and all these different breweries in New Jersey. And they combine craft beer and trivia together. Each week you can win actual prizes, but you can also come in last place and win a prize to a brewery. So, again, look at their bonus items online. Check them out. Okay, earn extra points. That's Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Enjoy the podcast. Woof, 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 woof.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron Iz, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans and a bunch of assholes talking a bunch of shit.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
You have long range ears, you should be able to hear.
It's more my volume than my hearing.
Oh, you know, you have hearing like a dog.
No, I don't. Why would I have that? And why would you bring it up on the show like this?
I don't know. Anyway,
are we recording? Because yes. I can't barely hear you from here.
Well,
there.
I can hear me.
Oh,
that's all that really matters.
I'm looking at you.
When it comes down to it, it just matters that I can hear myself.
Yeah.
I've been trying to figure out ways to keep you blocked and me.
Well, changing locations was a good start. You know?
It didn't work.
Yeah.
You found your way.
That was a good scavenger hunt, Scott. Remember when I knocked on your bedroom window door at 3 in the morning saying, I got you.
With the stereo above your head.
In your eyes.
The light, the heat.
Your eyes.
Something like that.
In your eyes. Maybe we can get John Cusack on the show.
I'm sure he's not doing anything.
No.
But anyway, welcome back, everyone, to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. It's been a two-week break. Actually, probably only like a
week and a half,
week and
I
a
would
half
say.
For you guys. But we are back. If you listened to our last episode, is with Jim Paplinski, Calgary Flames.
Guy who held the cup.
Held the cup. Hi, Scott. I'm just making food. Be with you in 30 minutes. It's our guest.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back. It's good to be back. I moved locations again. We are sitting in my new I don't know what you call this place.
Abode.
A tiny house, I guess. It's like a studio cottage here on the lake.
Yeah.
So we're back. We're no longer in the parents' basement.
We're moving up in the world.
Yeah, we spent about 6 months there, and we're moving back up. We're moving back up. Maybe we'll do some podcasts outside while fishing.
Ooh. Gotta drop the microphone in the water again.
Yeah, something tells me about you fishing. Something about you fishing probably.
Hmm.
I could see being a very fun experience.
Yeah, it'll be interesting trying to get the fish off the hook. My dad never really taught me that. He'd like yell at me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were afraid to get the fish, right?
Yeah, he would like yell at me like when I had the fish in my hand screaming, you're going to get stung, you're going to get stung. And
yeah.
I pretty much gave up on that. Yeah.
What exactly were you afraid of?
Well, we had a lot of what we call sunnies. I think they're called brimfish in other locations.
Yep, there's a lot of sunnies in this lake.
Yeah, and they their fins on top are, as defined by me, stingers. So my father used to say, you know, if you don't hold it right, they're going to sting your hand. And then, like, the one time I tried to get a fish off my hook, my dad started screaming at me, "You're going to get stung! You're going to get stung!" And they just played games with me. So I was just pretty much like, "I got a fish. Can you get it off of me?"
Oh, yeah, you're one of those guys. "Please get the fish off the hook." That's half the battle of. If you're going to catch the fish, you got to get them off the hook. But yeah, maybe we'll have to make that.
Get some. Scott's not screaming at me. Boo!
I'm scared.
You're gonna get stung.
Gonna get stung. Mm-hmm. There's something else you were afraid of too, right? What was that? Oh, Q-tips.
Q-tips. Yeah, my mom. Again, with the "you're gonna poke your eardrum out." So every time I go to the doctor's office, he's like, "Why do you have like 8 pounds of earwax in your ear?" "I don't want to do anything to my eardrum, what? Doctor."
What? We just pull the candle out of your ear, son.
I'm owned by Yankee Candle. Actually.
See, but I'm thinking that maybe she wasn't afraid of you, of the Q-tips. She was afraid of what you would do with a Q-tip.
Like, I'm not that dangerous. I mean, what can I do with a Q-tip?
I just feel like you would be like, "Let's see. Well, if I push it all the way in, it should be able to pull more out."
"Mom, it's gone again."
"Can't find it.
The MRI's got another Q-tip in it.
I can't find it. It stinks. I can't hear.
I forgot math again."
Yes. So this weekend, I don't know if you remember last year, we talked about, I went to Bro Fest. It was basically a bunch of dudes camping in the woods and with lasers and the pig.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a year ago. So we went again.
Oh.
And same crew, and one of the emails sent, the guy who made the crazy laser, he sent an email. He's like, "I think I got something that will top last year's." He's like, so the anticipation was there the whole time.
It was a dead body.
Yeah. And we just party during the day, eat a lot of food, and then mm-hmm. the guy with the laser wasn't there yet. Real kind of like nerdy guy. So he gets there, it's nighttime, and he pulls out. We were like all day, we're guessing what it is. And we're like, it's probably going to be like a drone that like lights up the entire field. And we're like, you know, it'll probably be that. And sure enough,
it'll be a transformer.
Sure enough, he pulls out a drone that he built himself, and it goes up in the sky, and it just lights up the entire like campground because he's got these crazy LEDs on it, and then he's got all these lasers shooting off of it. It's like, and he's like, "Yeah, that was my small one." We're like, "You got a big?" He's like, "Yeah." And then he builds a bigger one, and it's just fucking insane.
I don't want to bring it out. You know, the small one was for the show, you know.
But, yeah, it was crazy. Apparently, like, enters them into, like, competitions where they got to build, like, drones from, I don't know, all different parts. And it's wild.
I should enter the competition to like throw a brick up in the air. It didn't stay. Supposed to stay.
Brick with a propeller.
I twirled it before I threw it up.
You're slowly becoming like the show's retard. Like, like
Michael Berlew, show retard. God, I did it again. Oh, Berlew. Wah, wah, wah.
But then something crazy happened at night. There was only a couple of us left up, and
mm-hmm.
there was this kid, this guy, I guess I should say. He apparently hasn't drank in like 6 years, and he said he had like a pancreas problem or something. I don't know if that was just his way of saying he had a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all day he's slamming Red Bull and I don't know, whatever. And like, we're hanging out at the end of the night. It's all winding down. And I look over, and I see the guy, like, just completely assed out. Like, I'm like, oh, man, is he all right? I tried, like, waking him up. We couldn't wake him up. And, like, he had, like, one eye open. And he was just slurring. And so it was obviously he either drank. I knew he probably wasn't drinking, but or he took something.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, he definitely took a bunch of Xanax. But anyway, we couldn't get him up. Like, I thought the guy was going to die. We're like walking him around, slapping him in the face, spraying water on him, and nothing. So eventually, I'm like, guys, you got to call the cops. Like, it's, you know, at this point, it's time. And like, we're in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
So it took a while for the cops to get here. As soon as the cops got there, he just threw up all over the place. And he was still out of it. And eventually, I had to take him to the hospital. Apparently, he took, like, bars of Xanax. Like, not just pill. Like, the giant bars of Xanax. Like,
wow.
Several of them. And he had, like, four prescriptions in the car, too. So the cops were like, we didn't even know what he's on, you know. So it was pretty frightening experience.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Bro fest.
Yeah. So he must have took. And then one of the guys said he also saw him with like a drink too. So I don't know if all that together just made some kind of deadly cocktail.
Yeah. When you're off of drinking for about 6 years, the best thing to do is get right into it with a bar of Xanax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you, but the coffee I just bought you is loaded with them.
All right. This is going to be a great podcast.
It's going to get weird.
As opposed to?
Brennan Drugs Berlew. Damn.
Wait, Berlew, you're normal. No, I'm thinking about getting a 401k, Scott. I'm trying to diversify.
Yeah, what's that? Flowers from Algernon or whatever? Like, Always Sunny did an episode with Flowers for Charlie where they gave him
and he thought he was smarter. You're not talking Mandarin. That's just gibberish.
So, yeah, that was my weekend. You just came back from Great Adventure, correct?
Yeah. First time in about 5 years I went down there just out of the blue. Took a quote-unquote sick day and went down there. A lot of things have changed down there. I will say that the kids got a lot stupider when it comes to moving the line. I will tell you that much.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the first ride we went on was the Joker. That's the new roller coaster they got out there. Uh-huh. It took about an hour, but they did it right. The line was constantly moving. People were getting online. There was somebody in the front basically going, you know, okay, you two go there, you two go on the other side, and it was well organized, kept going, and didn't feel like an hour wait.
While online, were you trying to do the impression of the Joker?
No, some guy who's like on the microphone once in a while tried to do like a Joker laugh, which was really awful. It's like, enjoy the Joker. Arr, ha, 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 ha.
And you were like, I can.
I can do better than that. You call that an imitation? The ride was stopped for 15 minutes as I was teaching him.
Now, that's the one that it goes and like the seats.
Yeah, rotate. The seats like spin.
That's pretty wild.
In rotations while you're going up and down the little hills and all. It's like a quick ride, but it's a fun one. So then we went down to the Green Lantern ride, which was basically they took the screen machine and painted it green. That's all they pretty much did.
Yeah.
And when we came up to the line, it's like, all right, that doesn't look too long. Like when you could see where you get onto the coaster and you're at the end of the line, you're like, all right, that ain't too bad. 2 hours.
Wow.
And it was constant. Like every cart you could see, there's like two to five seats open every single time. There was no organization whatsoever.
Did you wait the whole 2 hours? Or?
Yeah, well, we waited the 2 hours. Was with Izzy, and she just did her shift at work. So she has no sleep in her, and she's starting to feel. We're in the sun. She has no sleep. I can see her leaning on the bars in the line, like dozing off, holding on to the bars.
I feel like that's every experience at Great Adventure. It's always somehow hotter there. Always a long way. See, I don't think I can do it.
They always find the hottest spot and like, no, you don't need shade. But the topper was...
Yeah, so they could sell you water for $10.
Exactly. Yeah. The convenient soda machine just pops up after like an hour wait, you know. But the kicker was when we finally got there, went through the line, I mean, total mayhem. And also, they changed the fast pass system. I'm not sure you're there when they had it. Where
I mean, I know what it is, but
in the past, it was basically they had people come in through the exit, scan their fast pass, and just be like, all right, for this ride, all right, this line's that gate stays closed. You get into those seats and go forward. Now they kind of inch them in the middle of the line where they still have to wait for the ride. Okay. And it still pauses people from moving up more to the line. It's a very weird, very stupid concept.
All right.
So after 2 hours of waiting and a little frustrating, whatever, we get to the cart. Cart opens up. Isabel's seat, bar won't come up for her to get on the line. And she
wait, so you went already or you
No, we're about to get into the car and it's like there was nobody in that seat before, so it's all right, let's unhook the seat belt, push up the bar. Bar one go up.
Okay.
So she starts freaking out and she just I'm done. She's going back and like the next group are like, we got three people, you can ride me. No. Can I go through? I don't want to deal with it. I want to go through. Let's go through.
So she's having a meltdown.
She's having it wasn't drastic as she said, but it was kind of funny. And then it's like I'm like hooked in, suit up. She's like, well, you can go, and I'm kind of like, all right, is she telling me to enjoy myself, or is it the girlfriend?
This is a passive
aggressive test. Will ask to get off of this ride if you're with me kind of deals. So I went on the ride. And it was all right. The ride wasn't, it was cool, but it wasn't a two-hour wait cool.
No, well, what was your reaction afterward? Was she happy you went on the ride, or was she like,
it was one of those, it's like, we're not going on the ride for a couple minutes. I need a little moment. I don't want to go on there. And another thing to add to it, we wanted to go on Superman before that, and just as we were going to walk in, the person's like, broken, no, don't go in line, broken.
You see, he sounded like that, too.
What's that?
He sounded like that, too.
Kind of like that.
Broken, no.
So that was a kind of experience. And then the safari, they no longer allow you to drive through the safari. You have to catch, like, this big... I don't know what you call it, like a tanker or whatever. It's like one. It looks like one of those military vehicles to go through.
Like a Hummer?
Yeah, I would say like a bigger Hummer. And again, they're line oriented. All you have to do is put on a seatbelt, and that's it. And it took every time like 10 minutes before they would send a car.
So you went through the safari, correct?
Yeah, I went through the safari.
Yeah.
They first emphasized you're not allowed to touch the animals.
All right. So, and how many times did you have to be read that?
I think around the time I climbed the lion's cage, I got the hint. But there was a part in there where they have like a petting zoo. There's like a deer that's domesticated. So I was getting kisses from a deer.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Yeah, it was very cute.
One thing I would never want to do is go to a petting zoo with you.
Why?
Or anything with like a zoo or an aquarium. Because to be honest, you fucking creep me out in front of animals.
Why?
You creep me out. You like something comes over you where you kind of just lose it. Like you black out kind of. Like it's just like I feel like, you know, like in Saving Private Ryan when the guy's at the beach and everything's chaos, and you just like, everything's slow-mo. I feel like when you're around, like,
a freaking
ostrich or a donkey, you're like, kiss it. Let me get kisses from it. You're a weird man.
No.
You're a weird man with the animals. I'm starting to think your mouth has kissed more animals than women.
Well, I start doing the math. Carry the forms. There was that sheep one time. Mm-hmm. I'll get back to you in the next podcast.
I'm not even talking like... I'm talking variable amount of animals. Like, I want you to make a list. Like, yeah, I kissed a dog.
Every week I reveal a new animal.
Sounds like a bit. But yeah, I'm starting to think that you have kissed, like... You're kind of like the Noah's Ark of kissing animals. Like, two of each.
No, I had a male horse before.
And were you like this as a kid, or is this something that you found is finding its way in your adulthood?
I don't know. I just really like animals. I mean, I was kind of a loner to myself, and, you know, pets always gravitate to me, so, you know.
Just... Now, is it pets gravitate towards you, or you...
Well, sometimes I have to remind them of that statement, you know. That's why I just charge the animal at first.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great segue into what we're talking about today. Now,
what are you talking about? We had no guests today.
The other day we went to the Met game.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went off on a tangent on the way there. We drove in, drove back, and all about how you somehow went from your love of animals to running for mayor of your town. And like commercials like Michael Berlew is a good boy. Like,
America needs a good boy. Michael Burlew for mayor.
Yeah. We just kept going and going and going. And then
we had the slur campaign ones.
Yeah.
Michael Burlew says he loves animals, but does this picture of him with a dead deer speak to that?
Right.
Bad boy, Michael Burlew. Bad.
Let's hit him with the proverbial rolled up newspaper and end this man's campaign. But anyway, it's going to be very hard to recreate that. But
yeah.
The point was, we were talking about him being an animal, and I'd seen something online about guys that call themselves human pups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it pretty much sums it up. They're guys who dress up like dogs. A lot of different things, but they dress up like dogs. And I was saying, Burlew, you would be perfect with this.
No.
I think you said, that, I think this
that's
is something.
Not my style. I like seeing animals. I'm not trying to be an animal.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, you talk, you make my dog talk in a certain voice.
Well,
and now you and your girlfriend
you.
Talk to each other in my fake dog's voice.
Yeah,
and then you say to her, that's not what he sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you understand the borderline lunacy of this?
Listen, it's like if you do a bad De Niro imitation, I gotta call you out. She does a bad Obi voice.
Well, I don't know if we should get it. Well, let's take a. Here's a video of a human pup on the Holly and Phillip show in England. All right.
Why? It's a means of it being able to escape from life, get away from the sort of day to day busyness that you sort of live in. And just have a chance to chill and relax and have fun with the sort of simple things of life, like a chew toy or sort of hair scritches and that.
All right, for starters, he's wearing a mask, kind of like if you saw the Chewbacca mom video.
Yeah, right.
He looked, I mean, it's good quality. I'll give him credit for that.
Head
to
toe Dalmatian outfit.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there talking seriously, but he's on the ground. Mm-hmm. On the ground.
In doggy
style.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So a chance to unwind, chill, and clear the mind, really.
But why not yoga? Why not meditation?
I love that girl's question. Why not yoga or something other than dressing
like
a dog?
Why not smoke, for God's sake?
Yeah. There's things called weed out there.
Yeah.
I don't quite know, to be honest. It's just what I've sort of ended up building up as a reputation for myself to be.
And how does that build up? I mean, where do you go from? Well, how do you get to? Because your normal job, you're a sound and lighting technician at a theatre. You don't really like being in the spotlight.
No, that's very true.
Sounds like you a little bit. Don't like being in the spotlight. Like to be behind the scenes.
I mean, I've stopped doing that pacing a little bit before my shows.
Yeah, but I'm thinking this is a great.
This
thing
doesn't sound like me.
It came about because we sort of saw the sort of costume on the internet on eBay.
Okay.
And purchased that one. And from there, it sort of became like a sort of an alternative ego, sort of a chance to dress up and role play. You do it as a child, and why can't we do it as adults, really?
And this.
You're doing it as a child. That started with you as a child. It's something you're hiding deep inside you. But I do know what the next our sponsor money is going to. If you could just write me down your waist and your suit size on the way out. But yeah,
it's something that consumes you. You say that when,
the best is when they
you
interview
are
his like his ex-wife or something.
That's what you think about. You think in them.
When you're into it, you're into a sort of an area, sort of headspace. Your mind has gone right down into being a puppy. You ignore what's going on around you from the point of view of humanity, human life, in the sense of money and food.
You're very big for a puppy.
Yeah.
I'm still just as big.
Yeah, it's not realistic, Scott. Not realistic at all.
The best
it's too
is he
big.
Just said you're really big for a puppy, and the guy like put his head down, like depressed. Aww. Like, well, see. See?
I feel bad for him.
You do.
I just reacted.
You were basically like, oh, man. Don't you tell that man he's not a puppy. Shut up, Obi.
Down.
Oh, no.
But puppies are quite sort of small and cute, aren't they?
But we're still cute and sweet and innocent, really.
Really?
Yeah.
And
we're house trained.
Well, puppies aren't house trained. I mean, they're very, very, very little.
You have puppy training pads if you need to.
Puppy training pants.
Pads. Yeah.
Pads, yeah.
So
that'd be
don't
stupid.
Go to
pants.
You don't go and use the facilities. You'll go to the loo on a pad.
In fairness, no. Most of the time and all the time, I'll actually go that will drop back into human mindset
okay.
before going to the loo.
And what about food? I mean, you've got sort of dog bones here and bits like that. What do you eat when you are spot?
You can eat stewed beef. and sort of chicken tikka masala, curry, rice. And
I like chicken tikka masala. I'm into Indian.
And, but those are actual real bone, yeah. They're proper dog treats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Help yourself.
Oh, you can't.
Oh, no.
Can you get
there's one in the bowl.
He's eating the treat out of the bowl.
So whilst he's having his treat, because he's been a very good puppy so far, that you were engaged.
Yeah, we split up 2008.
I wonder why.
So how much of this did you know when you got involved?
Religious beliefs,
Bits
I think.
Of. He didn't have the suit then.
Yeah.
He was more into lycra and all of those kind of things and just started going out on walkabouts with other like-minded people and like-minded pups X number of years ago. Even though social media was around, it wasn't obviously as...
You didn't have the support, really.
Didn't have support, or yeah. It wasn't...
People are all the support groups out there.
I don't need the support. This is quite a personal question, but how far... Because I imagine if this is affecting your relationship with your now ex-fiancé, this isn't just a hobby thing. This is almost like a lifestyle. Yeah. It is a lifestyle.
Yeah. I like how he just shaved his head in the poppy outfit.
Is it a sexual thing?
No, it's not sexual. The whole... The whole point behind puppy play is it's escapism, to get away from sort of money and run-of-the-mill and sort of a hectic lifestyle that most of us have these
Burley,
days.
You haven't liked your job. You've been having a tough time. I think that this is the ticket for you. You know, you've done LARPing in the last year. Uh-huh. You've done the steampunk thing. This is the next logical transition for you.
I don't know if I want to take that step, Scott.
Now, Burlow... Since I believe in this so much that I believe this is perfect for you, because I look out for you. You're like a brother to me. You know,
thank
you're
you.
A good boy to me.
Well, I guess that's a compliment.
You know, I've reached out to a member, and we're going over to the UK today.
Oh, okay.
And apparently he is... he's a human pup himself, so I thought maybe you two, he could help initiate you into the group, and maybe we could find out a little bit more... about him.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
so
like
let's.
A
plan. I'm gonna take a quick stop here because I gotta clear some space, and we will call. Bye. All right, buddy Rover.
What? No.
Let's call
Scott.
So let me see if I got his name. But I'm pretty excited about this, bro. Because this goes right.
What's
in line
your name?
What we've been doing lately? Kazuki Wolf.
Oh.
I don't know if he has a real name, but
is
maybe
that his
Kaz?
Christian name?
Okay. Hey, Scott. Wags. Oh, man. I got to go video for this one.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, is this, I don't even know what to call you. Do I call you Kaz or Kazuki? What do I call you here?
Yeah, you can call me Kaz. Kaz is cool.
Kaz, welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. I'm Scott Brennan. This is my cohort, Michael Berlew, here.
How you doing,
Hello.
Kaz?
So, Kaz, let me tell you how this all started. So my buddy here, my buddy Mike, he's really into my dog. He loves petting dogs a lot, and... You know, it started from a little joke in between the two of us to me looking into this whole human pup thing, and then eventually reaching out to you guys. And long story short, now you're on the show.
Okay, cool. so, is it what led you to human pups from that?
Well, it was kind of more of me playing with him that he should become a human pup because I saw an article on human pups and kind of what it's all about and. It kind of goes perfectly with our show because we have, basically every week we have someone very interesting or someone, I don't know.
Passionate about their...
Yeah, unique stories. And what's more unique than human pups?
We're pretty unique. Like every single pup is different.
So snowflakes and human pups, same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's
right.
Different.
Everyone's different. Every single one. So,
yeah, they're kind of, it's the antithesis of being a pup is to be different, almost.
Okay.
All right, so you gotta tell me. I guess we gotta start at the beginning here. How on earth did you get into this? Was this something you, was this something you felt inside you and didn't have access to until the internet? I don't know. You gotta give us some story here.
It's kind of difficult for me. It's kind of a way that I always felt, and I always thought that I was weird. And then the internet happened to me, and then I started to be able to find these other people who also were also writing things originally in sort of distant corners of the internet in news groups and other places. So I started to find people that felt the same as me, so I didn't feel quite as weird. And then I found that those people were actually, some of them were in this country. So I met up with them. And when I met one, I met another one and another one. And I found out there were loads of us. we sort of needed the internet to come in and connect us all together.
Now, when you started meeting these people, what's the process to kind of get into it? Do you show up in some sort of costume? Do you just kind of meet and greet and talk about what exactly a human pup is?
Well, it's kind of different now to how it is when I started being a pup. Really, it's not about what you're wearing. It's about what's in your head more than anything else.
Okay.
So when I first started meeting someone who was also a pup, I felt all of those things, but I didn't, like, I'd never considered, like, sort of acting out what I felt in my head and being a pup. So he was the first person to introduce me to this idea of playing like that, and realizing that it was more to me than, like, once I made the physical connection of what it was, it meant a lot more to me than anything else that I had before or known of before. The gear stuff has really interestingly grown in the last few years. The very first time I saw someone have a hood that they could put on that was looked like a dog was amazing. And that guy had spent a good couple of thousand bucks having it custom made by someone. And so now these are things that, like, pups can go out and get in a shop. They can go online and order it, like, right now. That the gear side of things, where people had tails and hoods and stuff, that kind of grew around. It kind of grew around us as a little community, really, and kind of things that we felt that we wanted. And either some of us started making them on our own and then selling them to our friends, or other people that we knew that made stuff like it, we were sort of bending their ear and saying, "Hey, can you make me this thing?" And then they would look at us weird, and we'll be like, "All right, bear with us. It's got a point."
So when you get together, what is it exactly that you're doing? Are you just playing for hours? Are you doing? Is someone guiding an obedience class or something? What is going on here?
Okay, so like. In terms of like a one-on-one meetup, when pups and handlers meet up to play, it's much more than pretending to be a dog for a bit. There's a very, very strong physical and emotional bond that a pup and a handler will have, which is different to a lot of other. It's a kind of it's born out of an adapted sort of slave master kind of thing. The whole role play aspect of it, and right. the pup sort of animal mindset is another thing that sits alongside of it. So with a pup and a handler, it's being as a pup being given the opportunity to be allowed to be yourself, to not feel like you have to worry about how you're sitting on the sofa, or you know what you're saying or where you're looking. It's the permission to just be yourself, and that's okay. And for a handler, it's the opportunity to be there with that person just as they are, and being happy in themselves. It's much more about the connection in between the people than it is about the play. We have in Manchester, we have meetups every month. So we have quite a big meetup where a load bunch of pups will come and play, and we put down a padded area for them to play, and we give them chew toys and balloons and everything. And then literally they can come in gear if they want to, dress in gear. Some of them do and some of them don't. and then that's an opportunity for them to just either they can then, you know, be on the floor on all fours and bark at each other and squabble over chew toys and stuff if they want to do that. Or there's a whole other side to it as well, where we sort of, we can stand around and chat as friends who share a lot of common interests.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, do you guys, like, is it like a masked hidden identity kind of thing? Or you guys all know each other outside of this puppy play? Also, do you have a group in New Jersey that my buddy can join?
Okay, so, it's kind of split with some pups. For some pups, being a pup is a total release from their normal life for them.
Right.
So there are some pups that for them, they're two separate things. There's them in normal life, and then they go and they put their gear on, and then that's their excuse to let go and just be themselves. And then there are other people who cross over those boundaries. So I class myself as one of those people who live it as an entire lifestyle, and varying degrees in between. So for me, it's everything. My pup name is Kazuki. That's what people call me. It's what it says on my driver's license. I have a chain around my neck every day. And these are like totally normal things. And I have friendships in both work and professionally with people who are pups, either by night or just generally as you find them.
Now tell me about the mental change you go through, either from your regular life into being a pup or being a pup and then trying to come back to, lack of a better term, the real world. Do you have to, like, you rev yourself up or get into a state of mind for either?
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of people talk about a thing called pup space. Okay. And so pup space is really the ultimate sort of space. There is for people just to be able to not have to think in really any human terms about what they're doing. So you start to forget really about the words that people are saying. They just don't really, they're just noise. TVs and background noise just disappear off. So they only really are occupied with what's your internal thoughts really at that exact moment. And then nothing forwards of that and nothing really beyond that. So for some people, they do it with a handler and they'll have a kind of a guided, they'll be nice and relaxed and it'll take them a little while to just be quiet and still together, and then once they feel like everything's nice and relaxed and they feel comfortable, then they'll do it. For some people like me, I talk about it to my friends as like a sliding scale. So I don't have an on and off switch. I can scale it back so there's not as much pup, or I can just let it just be as it is and then totally forget myself for a while. It kind of, that element kind of comes with practice, I suppose.
Now, did you grow up around dogs? Do you own dogs now, or you're just the dog in the family here?
I grew up around dogs. My parents had dogs as when I was a kid, and then I lived a farm. Sort of dog behavior.
Starting to bring
in psychology was sort of part of my general day-to-day life.
Yeah, yeah. Kaz, can we just reconnect? I think we're just having a connection problem. We'll just call you right back, right?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thanks. I love the show, Michael Barlow. I love the show more and more every week.
Well, why were you making, like, sounds and pointing at me during the interview?
Almost his whole profile pretty much fits you.
There's no comparison between.
Well, I mean, let's just.
I mean, we'll reconnect. We'll hear more of the story.
Yeah, we'll see more. Yeah, yeah. Nothing. Hey. Hello.
Cool.
Hey, what's up, Kaz?
It's
Yep.
Kaz, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm still here.
You ain't going in and out right now.
All right. So, yeah, the last thing we're talking about is if you grew up with dogs or not.
Yes. So, I my parents had dogs when I was growing up, and I lived on a farm for a good chunk of my life as well, so we had quite a lot of dogs, and pack mentality and things like that are all part of sort of part of how I grew up around other animals. So
and this just like, so when did you actually start tapping into this thing that you had inside you? Like, what age were you?
Well, it's kind of weird for me. Like, I knew that that I just didn't feel the same as like anyone that I knew from a quite a young age. And when I was like from the age of 18, I was off chatting to other people saying, hey, this is what I feel like normally. Is it like, do you feel like that too? So so from pretty much as soon as I could reach out and touch other people who said that they felt the same, that's what I was doing. I felt kind of like lost and lonely where I was.
Interesting.
Now, was dog always your preliminary animal you were looking for? If there was like other options, would there have been another animal you would have been thinking about?
Okay, yeah, so dog is like, it's just a natural thing. And for me, the physicality, the verbalization of it and things like that are built into me. When I found it, everything about being a pup is just very natural and feels very normal to me.
So there was never any like weird, awkward elephant ears you went through that things just didn't align?
No, I just as soon as that switched sort of clicked in my head and I connected the physical part of it with what I had in my head, it just felt normal. I never really had an experience where anyone taught me how to sit or to stand or anything like that. I taught myself to do that by looking at the way my body was and trying to make it the way that looked most acceptable to me as a dog sitting, as anything like that. Afterwards, I had a lot of people ask me to teach them the things that I did, but so what I learned was sort of half from pictures, from stories that I had read online and how I felt.
Now, I guess the first question is, you probably get this a lot, like, how did your family and friends and people around you react to this once you started going full force with this?
It's kind of interesting. I don't think there was ever really a point where I started going full force with it. I sort of dropped my family and friends relatively gently into it by just the things that I, like, my very first time when I'd started seeing my first owner.
Oh, they don't know.
Yeah, so, like, they were, I introduced him to my friends and my family as my boyfriend, and then we very slowly let things that we did as a pup and a handler, we very slowly let them creep into my day-to-day life. So I started wearing my chain collar all the time. And it's just sort of no one really ever mentioned it. And like, it was never really brought up. Like, so we've noticed you're wearing this dog collar thing with a name tag on it. And people are like, well, That's just what Kaz does. He's like, this is the thing he started doing now, and we just go with it. There's like, I've had some really interesting situations where my friends have walked in while I've like been playing with people, which is always.
Do you stay in character when that happens, or are you just like, oh, hey, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a really switch over. I can. Like, I can come out of that really quickly and be able to be responsible. I was about to say it's funny. It's not funny, but it is funny if you ever get to see it happen. Sometimes pups who take, like I mentioned, take a long time to get towards their kind of pup space. Sometimes it does take them a while to get out. So I have had times when we've had to I've had to end something very quickly, and I have to take into account it's taken maybe my other pup friend maybe 10 or 15 minutes just to sort of come back to reality and be able to, you know, understand what I'm saying to them sometimes.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a UPS truck coming and you signing for a package in your pup outfit.
That's actually definitely happened 100% before. There was a time when we had some new IKEA furniture delivered when we moved house, and who I have now is also my husband, and he was signing for the delivery from IKEA, and I was sat there in all fours. I was actually wearing a fursuit at the time. So I was wearing my wolf fursuit, and I just was sat on the floor barking at him, and he just looked confused and went,
carry on.
You'd be surprised the amount of times when I've been either I've just done it just because I wasn't thinking of just being a dog. Like, I'll bark in the middle of a subway station or something. And, you'd be surprised the amount of people that really don't care.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, well, whatever.
Now, what breed are you in your pup world?
I'm a wolf.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting that you mentioned, like, other species as well. There's, I'm also a furry, so I meet a lot of other people who are different species. But for me, like, being a dog, being a canine always just felt like a natural choice. Not that it didn't cross my mind at any point. When I started to meet furries and meet all of these various different exciting characters, I was like, well, maybe I'm a fox, maybe I'm a dinosaur or something. And, it turns out I wasn't, so I was totally right, which is fortunate. It's just sort of that... The furry thing does cross over quite a bit. There's a lot to do with the headspace, which is very similar to the furry thing.
No, I gotta ask you. It's kind of the underlying. Do is this be for a lot of people? It's got to be a different reason. But is it a sexual thing for some people? Is it just is it different for everyone?
Yeah, no, totally. For some people, it totally is. Like some people do it because it's really horny for them, and I have to be honest, like, it does, for a lot of people, the way that they are, being a pup is the way that they are as people.
Right.
So if you're in a relationship with someone that cares about you, when you make love to them, you make love to that person. And if it's a part of them, then certain elements of that pup character and that personality actually, you know, they do come out in the bedroom. And for some people, it is about that for them. And for a good portion of the other people, it really isn't about that. It is just about having fun with their friends and being the way they feel comfortable and getting to romp about on the floor and play with chew toys in a totally non-threatening kind of way. They don't feel like a lot of guys, if they go out to clubs, they feel a lot of kind of sexual pressure or tension that when they go into these kind of like gear type clubs, that all of these guys are either wanting to have sex or they don't know even what's going to happen. So being a pup kind of allows them to get away from that and not feel the pressure of that. They can be themselves. And if someone says, hey, come here, do what I say, you're totally within your rights as a pup to just walk off and run away and do something else and pee up someone's leg if you want. That's what a pup does.
Wow. So My friend Mike here, he tell me if some of these things maybe you have felt in your life. Like, okay, he has certain voices for dogs and animals that he pictures the way they talk to them. Is that something that you may have experienced? We're trying to help him through this here.
Yes. Totally. So I have Husky Thor. So I don't know if you saw trailers for the Human Pup documentary, but Thor was very in that. He stole a good portion of the show. We around my house, we have Thor's voice. Thor has a voice. When we're in the kitchen, we talk in Thor's voice, and you know, we put words in his mouth, like, oh, I want that bacon now. Like, we give...
this is identical to what my friend Mike...
Scott, like, during stop this whole, getting so excited
during
right
this
now.
Whole interview, he's been kind of sweating a little bit and kind of, like, looking at me like, I hate you. Because this matches up. Like, he has a voice for my dog every time he comes in. Mike, would you like to do it for him?
Hello, Daddy. I don't feel comfortable right now, Daddy.
See, now, Kaz, let me tell you. It has gone so far that he has a girlfriend now, and now she does the voice, and he tells her that voice, that's not correct. That's not what it sounds like.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So what happens
is perfect.
We have a lot of friends that come over and visit. We have a lot of pups that come over and visit. Yeah. And people that are new to meeting Thor, they see us interact with Thor and they see us do the voice thing.
Right.
And literally by the end of their stay, even if it's just been for like a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I will see them leaving the door saying goodbye to Thor in the Thor dog. They're like, bye Thor, bye, see you later, dog. Like,
oh my God, have you ever met Mike before?
This is a wild coincidence, that's all.
Now,
because it's fun though, I think like that interaction that you're having is fun, and that's part of what makes pup play different.
Exactly.
Like you can have all kinds of different dimensions to your pup play relationship, whatever kind of suits you or your partner personally, but that element of it always being fun is always there.
Thank you so much for clearing that up. Also, what if you're out in public? Okay, Mike, anytime, like, we'll be talking, having a conversation, maybe having a beer, and then as soon as a puppy enters the room or anywhere near him, he'll drop the conversation and go immediately to pet that dog. Is that a sign that he...
yeah, no, totally. You're drawn to dogs.
You're drawn to
dogs? Yeah. I'm an animal. Like, I love animals. Right. That's it.
So, like, I'm interested in getting... He's about 6'4", 6'3". You know, how much would a dog suit cost?
It kind of depends on like where you go. So some people if they want a suit to look how they feel, some people do go out and get suits, and you can get just like a black one, or you can get custom made ones, and people can go like really all out in their custom made ones, particularly the rubber stuff. Like, there are places that will put you in a little thing full of cameras and 3D scan you.
Ooh,
and
let's do that.
Like, they'll do a proper job of it, and then the suit that you get will be amazing. Yeah. So some people really dig that, wanting to look exactly like they see themselves in their head. Hmm. And for some people it's more just for the feel of the gear, or sometimes it's just for the feel of seeing that they have a long nose in front of them when they look out. That's just kind of a nice thing for some people.
I mean, that's an interesting side. Like, how much do you think you spend on your man pup life, would you say? I mean, what's like an average, or what's the most you ever heard somebody spend on their hobby?
You've been saving for a while.
So in terms of it, if we look at like the kink gear suits, like the rubber and leather stuff, like a rubber suit, if you went for a custom made one, and you went and chatted with the guys about all the different colors and how it was all going to match, you look at maybe £400 for a suit. And wow. Then
it's about $650 US, something like that.
Yeah. to go up to like the hoods that are like the one you might have seen in the TV show of mine, which is custom painted again. That's handmade by a guy who has to sit there and hand paint it. So you know, those things also run to like a few hundred bucks for those as well. So,
yeah, see, because I want to, you know, if I'm going to get my boy here a suit, I want to go all out. I want no.
I'm not a boy, Scott. I'm
no,
a man.
I want no, nothing held back. Okay. Now, I want like the best suit possible. What kind of breed would you think you are, Mike?
I don't think I've thought about that, Scott.
Well, we'll figure that out in the next couple weeks.
Maybe husky. I don't know.
A husky. Husky, yeah. I think so too.
Oh, no, another husky. I've got far too many huskies. Pick something else.
Oh, I apologize. I should have researched this.
You got to remember, he's in Jersey, so he's going to be open to, you know, he's going to start a new chapter over here.
I think you might find, actually, there's probably are Jersey pups, actually. There are quite a lot. I think from my point of view of like the history of where it came from, certainly a lot of the physical aspects of what we sort of what you see as pup play now actually came over from the States. So there are actually quite a lot of regional groups all spaced out there that have their own like we do here, have their own social meetups, and they also have the competitions and stuff too.
So you'd be surprised. Be aware, so Kaz, how many are people? I know you're head of the Manchester Pups. I think it was.
Yes.
How many people are involved in that?
So the Pups of the North thing is there's 50 of us roughly every month will come to our meetups. And those will be people from just in our sort of Northern England area. And then we do have some people that actually that even drive up from down south or from further across, just because of the way that our event is. There's not very many events in the UK. So we'll get about 50 a month in ours. There's one down in the Midlands, I think, and there's one down Puppy Pride down in London, and now there's even one sort of cropping up in between, sort of further up in the northwest or up in the down south in Wales. So there's all these tiny little branches. So there's a lot. Like Puppy Pride this year will be marching in the London Pride March, and they will easily break their 100 amount of people that they're allowed. So much so that they've had to. This year, they've had to register for another group, so they've got a maximum of 200 people, which they probably will get close to filling too.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really big. Like, from when I started, when, like, there was maybe five of us and we all had each other's cell phone numbers, to now it's insane. Someone will walk up to me and say, do you know this pup? I'm like, I have no idea who he is. Never seen him before. Like, literally every...
That's
every,
racism.
Yeah. Well, if you see a husky soon named Da Burles, that is my co-host. But Kaz, say someone's listening to this interview and one, they either want to check it out or maybe they're interested in it, or they even like, is there a place they can see like you in costume or what this kind of looks like? Where can they go and maybe even, I don't know, send a message or interact or just curiosity?
Okay, so like I don't have like a personal like a website or anything. You can find me on Twitter at Kazpup on Twitter. For places in the UK, you'll be able to find our social group, which is Pups of the North, which is Pups at Pups North on Twitter. Kennelclub.co.uk for our club site, and the sort of one of the main UK-based social networking sites that we have for pups is called puppypride.co.uk. And that website is built by us as pups. And we put it out there for everyone to get involved and meet each other and share pictures and share events and start their own things. And
you know, for puppies, you guys are pretty technologically advanced.
Well, it's interesting for puppies. A lot of us do some like really important jobs, it turns out. So you'd be surprised.
That's great, man. Kaz, I really want to thank you for coming on. It was actually like a lot of fun interview. You know, laid back and honest, and we appreciate that. And that goes exactly with what this show tries to do. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's been lovely chatting to you. Thank you.
And this will be up on Monday. This should be up on Monday. So I will I'll tag you in and whatnot.
So. Okay, great. That's awesome.
All right. Thanks so much, Kaz. And
thanks,
Kaz.
See you later.
Your turn, Berlo. Have fun, buddy.
Have a good one, Kaz.
You deserve a belly rub. Bye, buddy.
So, you see game four last night. I can't believe how much Steph Curry did better. He was really out of it for a while. Oh, and did you see that fan who ran onto the court with Trump sucks on his stomach?
What are you talking about? Why are you trying to change the subject?
Well, we're a diversified podcast.
No. We could devote a whole episode to this, really.
It was a political statement when he ran onto the court and got tackled by
police. I noticed that.
And I had the video
that the whole
here,
time
and,
you were giving me a lot of no, don't looking at me.
Yeah.
Looking at your girlfriend saying no, I think she's ready to just kill me. But I really think this is something for you, Mike.
No, I just think these were mild coincidences. And, you know, each their own. I'm very happy that he found a life that he's proud of, that he enjoys, that he relaxes. But that's, the Burrows would not be a pup in the end. That'd be silly.
Well, for next year, right around the new challenge, we might have something coming up. What a fantastic interview.
Oh, very laid back. Really enjoyed. He was very honest. I mean, that's the kind of interviews I like.
Honesty is the best part.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought, going along with this, sex acts with pets is okay with the Canadian Supreme Court as long as it doesn't involve penetration.
Oh, okay.
So the Canadian Supreme Court has ruled that sex acts with a pet are legal as long as the animal is not penetrated or suffers any injury. So the case involved a man who had been convicted of sexually abusing two of his stepdaughters, who had also been convicted of bestiality after he attempted to make the dogs engage in sexual activities with one of the young girls.
You kind of sit back and say, what lawyer took on that case where it's like, victory?
A lower court convicted the man of bestiality after it heard he smeared peanut butter on the girl, who was 15 at the time.
Yeah, the most important part is the animal part, obviously.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty interesting. Then they actually had to rule on this, and it looks like it went a way that they didn't really even expect. So, just saying, bro, there's a lot of options out there for you, is what I'm
saying. I'll take this to the Supreme Court if I have to. I have my rights.
So that's Michael Burlow. He's a human pup.
Scott, can you edit that out? That's not a factual piece of information.
What do you mean?
I'm not a human pup.
Michael Burlow is a human pup.
No, that is not a truth.
Michael Burlow is a human pup.
I'm going to, if this was Hollywood
Mike
Squares,
Burlow is a human pup.
I disagree.
Mike Burlow is a human pup.
No.
Yeah. And what do you think the name of this episode is going to be?
Interesting interview with Manchester Pup Man.
Something tells me that you're not going to really tweet this one too much.
I might reverse tweet. I'm taking back my tweet. Do not listen to this podcast, Calgary Frames fans.
Okay, but you're real struggling with that
Calgary Flames. Yeah,
Flames, say it with me.
Flames.
Now. Flames.
Can't touch a flame when it's red hot.
Yeah, not the Calgary Frames. Yeah, I know, but you're a little flustered. You have a lot of thinking to do on what what breed you want to be, what species you want to be. But Michael Burlow's a human pup. Anyway, anything else, Burlow? What do you got today?
Let's see. I'm trying to think about what else is going on. Didn't really bring anything today, so I just figured a pup thing was enough for me.
Right. So you can get to the dog park. Now, the one question through all of this is, why don't you get a dog?
We kind of talked about it. It's going to be next year sometime. It's more the line of, I was alone, so it's like I could do long hours where it won't be fair to the pup.
Right. Plus, you got to make sure what kind of dogs aren't allergic to like leather and rubber and
why would I need to do that?
Keep going.
I know. But basically, now that I have somebody else in my life and we can share the dog and share responsibilities.
You and
Obi. What's that?
You and Obi, you mean?
No, Obi's my friend over there. I mean, he's...
Right, friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, me and Izzy decided sometime in 2017 we're going to adopt an animal.
This your way of, like, one day you're just going to show up in costume and like, we adopted...
Babe, it's cute. We're wearing the same colors, you know?
We adopted... I'm no longer Michael Burlow. I'm the Burl, the husky.
Scott, you're hurting my feelings.
Funny dog story. This new place I put up, it's right back to the water, and I put up like a little tiny metal fence, like a garden fence, and Obi keeps trying to stick his head through. So yesterday he stuck all the way up to his shoulders and started pulling the fence out, and as he was backing up, more pieces of the fence were clinging to him. And at one point, I'm like, oh, stop, and he started panicking, and eventually he just stopped, and he was like a cube. Like, there's so many layers of fence around him. He was like a giant cube.
Is my dog the Rubik's Cube?
Ruby! All right, Burlow, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
let's get out of here. Fun one back. We'll be back on our regular schedule. from here on out, man. We
sounds good. From our new location.
New location. Mixing board will be back hopefully next week.
Hopefully.
So if you saw what I'm doing right now, I got one. I tried that duct tape that you bought at the Table 42 show, which I was going to talk about today, but maybe we'll save that for another one.
Yeah.
Which basically just peeled apart.
Well, what do you expect for a dollar?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get the good stuff when you need duct tape for purposes.
Yeah. I heard you're a duct tape expert. From here. All right, Mike Berlow, anything to promote?
I will promote July 8th. I will be doing a guest spot at Scotty's Comedy Cove up in Springfield, New Jersey. For tickets, scottyscomedycove.com.
You know who's headlining that?
They didn't point out the schedule yet, so once I get that, I'll be in the next episode.
Sounds good, man. That's good. And I will be, let's see, this will be up Monday. You know what? I'll do one for the both of us on June 25th down in Red Bank. Come see us with the Improv Jam. I've been basically booking comics for them, so I unfortunately have booked Mike Berlow on this show.
Scott.
So we'll both be there.
You've been very mean to me on
this
episode.
It's a free show, so if you want to come down, it's right next to the Count Basie Theater. It's the Count Basie Performing Arts Academy, I believe is the name of it, but it's right next door. And it's free, and Improv Jam is hilarious, and then we can go out for a drink afterward in beautiful Red Bank, New Jersey.
Ooh.
But I think that's it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, keep listening to the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, all that. Leave us a review. That's what helps the most, okay? Share it with your friends, and if you're interested in being a human pup, please contact Michael Berlow at The Burls, something, something on Facebook and Twitter. He'll gladly answer all your questions and indulge in puppy play. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Woo!
I'm not an expert, Scott. Scott, don't turn off the volume. I'm trying to explain to people stuff. Keep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must we drop dead. What's the motherfucking name?